you're broke, busted, disgusted, in a valley of despair, and you feel like nothing is going to help you. But God's always there, isn't he? Well, I'm going to try this. I never did a PowerPoint up here before, so I'm going to try this out. So bear with me here. Let's see if this clicker works. Yeah. Oh, well, we don't need it. Yeah, I checked it out. It's obvious we just don't need it. Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and go to the next one there. Oh, he took it. He said he was going to change it. There we go. All right. It is well with my soul by Horatio Spafford. Now, see, Horatio, he by trade, he started out as a lawyer, okay? But, you know, he must have not really felt fulfilled in that because he went out and with his wealth, he went and bought a bunch of apartment buildings. And what happened is, I'm sure we all remember from history class, is Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern and lit the whole town on fire of Chicago. Well, he lost almost all his apartments. And that was a big chunk of his income. Well, he decided, you know, that was stressful, very stressful. And about 3 years later, him and his wife, they decided, well, we're going to go to Great Britain. Well, so he had some business, last-minute business to take care of, and that sometimes happens when, you know, you're a businessman. And he sent his wife and his daughters, his four daughters, they sent them ahead to Great Britain while he finished up some stuff, and he would be coming along right after him. Well, what ends up happening is the ship gets in a wreck. It collides with another ship. All four daughters drowned in that wreck. So when the wife finally gets over to England, she cables him back. And, you know, back then you paid by the letter or the word, I can't remember, when you sent a telegram back, especially an international one, it was expensive. And all she sent him in that telegram, because we didn't have the day of cell phones, we didn't have, you know, the phone, I don't remember if it existed or not when this song was written, but they had the telegram, and all she sent was, "Saved alone." Now think about that. You hear about the wreck in the papers. You're worried sick. You don't even know if you have a family anymore. And you get a telegram from your wife, you know, and you're probably talking a little bit, you know, like a week or 2 weeks after the shipwreck. So you're not knowing what's going on. And you get a thing that says, "Saved alone." And this obviously tore the guy up. Well, a couple years later, and stuff, they had some more kids, and he ended up losing two more of his children. One was due to scarlet fever, and I can't remember what the other one was. But, you know, they didn't have doctors like we have nowadays, you know, so stuff, you know, like that just spread like wildfire, and they got, you know, people got sick, and he lost two kids. The one was like 4 years old. And then, so some years went by, and Horatio decided, him and his wife, that they were going to move to Jerusalem so they could learn how to suffer and especially conquer like Jesus. Because he felt so much sorrow in his heart about losing all his kids. You know, he probably felt like a failure losing his income and trying to have to rebuild everything up after that cow kicked over the lantern. So, you know, I mean, I know I would, because stuff like that, you know, when things don't go my way, especially about finances, I talked a little bit about stuff Sunday night, if you guys was here, about how before I had issues and giving my finances up to God and, you know, letting God be in control of that stuff. And I struggle with that. If something, you know, I'd like to say I'm totally over it now, but I know that there's still sometimes the devil roots his, you know, roots his nose in there and tries to trip me up. But, you know, as a man, we always want to provide for our family, and we feel like a failure, if our, especially if our finances get messed with. But the thing is, he went to Jerusalem because of all that suffering in his heart, and he just wanted to be like Jesus, and he felt the only way he could was to go and to go where Jesus walked and to learn what Jesus did and to go and be like Jesus. And he felt he had to go to Jerusalem to do that. Now, we need to ask ourselves a question. There it goes. Oh, too far. There. When all seems lost, you can be one of two people. And just keep that in mind while I'm preaching here today. You can be one or two people. You have a choice. You can be a Job. Now, we've all heard this story about Job. He was the richest man of his area. He was like the Bill Gates of his day. Now, he loved God. He loved God so much, every morning he went and made a sacrifice for him. And not only him, but his entire family, all his kids. So that way, they could be protected. And he was a blameless man. Now, that means nobody could find fault in Job. Whenever there was a disagreement, he solved it right there. He made everything right. He was a blameless man. But guess what? He lost everything in about I would say the way the Bible reads to me, in about maybe a day, less than a day, lost everything. All his sheep, all his servants, everything, his donkeys, and his kids got taken up in a tornado. So, and to top it all off, all that happened, he got boils all over his body. Now, I'm not talking, you know, just a little bit on his arm. You know, I was talking this week about Job to a guy at work, and he goes, you know, I couldn't imagine that because I get one little mosquito bite on my arm, and it drives me nuts all day. You know, think about it. He had it head to toe. And, you know, and his wife even turns on him. You know, she's like, you must have screwed up somewhere, Job. And just gets on him and just keeps, you know, picking at him and won't leave him alone and won't let him rest. And she just says, you know, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? She told her own husband to just go and die. That's not encouraging. Especially when the dude's got boils all over. He's in enough agony. He needs encouragement from his wife, you know. But he didn't get it. The only place he got encouragement was from God. Now see, through all that, he even has friends, his best friends, you know, the ones that, you know, you think are going to be there thick and thin. Do they help him? No. They're just as bad as his wife was. They heckled him. And you know, one part in Job, they just get in the room, they're beside themselves, they don't know what to say, and they stare at him. I mean, how many would you like that? You're in your worst moments. Your best friends come. You're excited. They come to your house. And what do? They are beside themselves by just the sight of you, and they stare at you. That's not encouraging at all, is it? Well, after all this, the end of the story of Job, he gets everything back and then some. He gets all the servants back. He gets all the sheep. He gets all the donkeys. He gets all of that back. And do you know why? Because through all of his trials, he trusted God. And he didn't say, God, I don't trust you. He didn't say, God, I don't believe in you anymore. Because a lot of times when us believers, we get in that valley of despair, we go and we say, God, you know, I don't like this, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And we walk away from God. We turn our back on God. Job never did that. You know, and I'm going to say it's human nature for us to say, God, why am I going through this? But you don't want to start yelling at him saying, God, why am I going through this? You want to say, God, instead of saying, why am I going through this, you need to say, God, what can I learn from this? Because that's what all this is. The tests in our lives are so we can learn and so we can be prepared for what's coming down the road. Because God's not going to, you know, God's a great father, and he's not going to give us, you know, something we don't know what to do with. You know, I'm not going to go and give George a monkey wrench and tell him to go work on the plumbing. He's just going to hit somebody with the monkey wrench. And that's what God doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to hit people with a monkey wrench. Well, the other guy we can be when we're in the valley of despair, and I am. There it goes. Maybe I should wait for it. Yeah, this was a bad idea on the PowerPoint here. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to forget this thing. All right. So the second person you can be is Jonah. Now, we all know what happened to Jonah. God tells him to go to Nineveh. What's Jonah do? He boards a boat and tries to go to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. Well, a storm comes up, and he's in the bottom of, you know, in the belly of the boat, and you know, he's kind of hiding out because he told these guys, said, well, what are you running from? And he's like, oh, I'm running from God. And, you know, and more than likely the ship was a bunch of pagan people that were on the ship. And they're like, okay, you know, whatever, you know, we don't worship your God, but okay, you're running from your God, that's your thing. You just go down in the cargo hold and do your thing. Well, the storm comes up, and they are, back in those days, when a storm, really bad storm came up, and the ship was about to sink, you started throwing stuff overboard, so that way you were higher up than the waves coming in, over, so the waves didn't come in your ship and swamp the boat. They're throwing stuff overboard. And then, you know, something tells them, go get Jonah. So they wake Jonah up, and he comes up, and they're like, so you're running from God, huh? And he's like, yep, that's what I'm doing. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to cast lots and see who's getting thrown overboard first to see who's did something wrong. So what happens, they cast lots, and Jonah's it. And he goes, well, I know it was me. I knew it was, I might as well just jumped overboard anyway. And they threw him overboard. What happened? A big old fish came up. Some say it's a whale. That's what I like to think. But a fish come up and swallowed him whole. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But guess what happened to the storm? As soon as he got swallowed up, the storm quit. So he was in there for 3 days and three nights. And he was having to think to himself, man, I should have just gone to Nineveh. But what ends up happening is the whale spits him out on dry land, and he goes to Nineveh, and they repent. Now, see, here's the thing. The reason Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh is he didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like what they did to his people. He didn't like, you know, the way that they were. He just really didn't like them. And guess at the end of the story, he got mad at God for sending him to Nineveh, because guess what happened in Nineveh when he got there? They repented, they listened to every word, and they went and turned towards God. Just because he went and did what God told him to go do. Now see, and God showing mercy to the Ninevites, that just made him mad. And that's one thing, you know, that we got to do when we're in that valley of despair. We don't need to try to get mad at God, because that's just wasted energy. And that happens a lot. When we get mad, that's one of the things we do. We either blame somebody else or we blame God. And we don't know who to blame. Let's just blame God. He's not in front of us. But guess what? It doesn't work out. It never does. Now see, when all seems lost, what should you do? You should seek God. Because see, Job never did anything wrong at all. You know? And he had all these problems. And guess what? The devil's out there, and he's going to want you to fail. He's going to trip you up somehow. And he never could trip up Job. No matter what happened to Job, he always praised God. And that's what we first must do in any trial, is seek God. And a lot of us don't. We seek the bank. We seek Facebook. We seek our friends. But you know what? That's never going to work, because you got to seek God. The second thing is after you seek God and asked him to search you to figure out what you did wrong, if anything, you must repent of what you did wrong. Because you're not going to get delivered from what's going on if you still have a whole bunch of sin in your heart and you're still going out and treating people terrible, you know, and wanting things to change. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. So yeah, if you're doing that same thing, it's not going to change. Your life is never going to change. And if you want life-changing things to happen to you, you have to change the way you behave and the way you think. And the way we need to think is Christ-like. So the other thing is we need to forgive. A lot of the time, we harbor unforgiveness for years. Somebody hurt you back in high school, and now you're like 50, 60 years old, and you're still mad at that person that hurt you because they stole your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever back in high school. You know, I've heard that before. Surprisingly, somebody was like 50 years old, and they still didn't forgive that person for that. You know, and it's stupid things a lot of times that cause the most grief. People don't forgive others for what they did. And the biggest thing, you know, and it really affects men, because men take their failures and everything internally. Women, thank God, they go and they tell, you know, they talk about their issues, they talk about stuff, and they get over a lot of things, and they don't harbor this kind of forgiveness. But men harbor where they have the self-forgiveness. They don't forgive themselves. You know, men, we go out into the community, you always hear the expression, well, you know, those boys, they always fight, and then once they fight, they're friends. You know, and they're the bestest friends all through their life. And that's because we hold that inner part of ourselves, that failure or whatever, we hold it inward and we don't ever deal with it. And we don't want to forgive ourselves because we like to hold on to that baggage because we're comfortable with it. And we know if we have that one failure, maybe I won't fail again if I recognize I had that one failure. But guess what? Leave it at the cross. That's what Jesus died for. You know, and women too. I know women hold that too, that they won't let that, you know, themselves forget about stuff. But you know what? That's what Jesus died for. We don't need to harbor unforgiveness at all about anybody or ourselves. Now, the other thing to do here is make things right in the eyes of God. Now, each problem has a different thing to do with that, you know? You've got to make it right. Now, sometimes making amends with people will stir up a whole bunch of stuff and ruin someone else's life. And you don't want to do that. What you need to do is seek God and say, God, I know what I did in my past really messed that person up. But God, I'm sorry. Tell me how to make it right, because I don't want to bring that up to that person again. If it ruins me, so be it. I need to do the consequences of my actions. But don't let me ruin someone else's life about it. Let me make amends somehow, Lord. And God will tell you how to do it, without hurting that other person that you hurt. And the last thing, you just need to move on and go to your Nineveh. And your Nineveh is where God tells you to go. You might not like where God is telling you to go. Jonah definitely didn't like where God told him to go. But you know what? Sometimes we have to go where God tells us to go, even though we don't want to be there. Not sometimes, actually all the time. We need to go where God tells us to go. Even if it's scary, even if we don't like it, even if we know we're not going to have fun, just go and do it and do God's will. Now, when all seems lost, that's what you're supposed to do. So when all seems lost, don't. Don't hold on to your Tarshish. Don't hold on to that one thing that's holding you away from getting closer to God. We all have that one eensy-teensy thing and it'll change in your life, that holds you from getting closer to God. Let it go and put it at the bottom of the cross. And don't, you know, pick it back up. The other thing is don't tell God how to do his work. How many times do we hear that? Well, God, I just need this so I can do this. How many times do we pray that? You know, God, I think it'll all work out if we do it this way. You can't tell God what to do. He knows everything. He sees the big picture. All we do is see the little tiny picture. And guess what? Sometimes it's through a muddy glass that we see the picture. God will reveal it to us when it's in his time, not our time. We might think we're supposed to go and do this one thing, but guess what? You're not supposed to do it till years later. Because if you try to do what God wants you to do too early, it won't work out. You have to pray and ask God, when is it time to do what you want me to do? And I know this is going to be a little short today here. I'm going to end up finishing up here with this. But we do have the picnic up the road. So, some things here to forget when all seems lost. And you shouldn't forget it. But Job said it best in Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord take away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now see, we really need to focus on that. When we are down in our deepest, you know, pit of despair, or whenever something wrong just keeps happening and happening and happening, we need to remember God is in control. He owns everything. He can give us all those blessings. But we got to remember that he is in control and that we must praise his name. Sometimes that is the hardest thing to do when you've lost everything and you don't know where you're going to pick yourself up. But God will pick you up. And you know what? You have to praise him in those times when you don't have any money, when you think everything's lost. God is in control, and he will not forsake us. And also, God will always take care of us. You know, it says in the Bible that he takes care of the birds. Why won't he take care of us? And he will. And the real question you got to ask yourself when you're in the pit of despair and nothing's going right is, who will you be? You know, you're obviously going to be yourself. But are you going to be a person that praises God and makes things right and tries to figure out what you can learn from this experience? Or are you going to be a person that just stays in the pit of despair, just is happy with your burdens and carrying them on your back? Or are you going to go and you're going to let those burdens go? And are you going to just leave them at the foot of the cross, not pick them up, be saved and do God's work? And that's what you really have to ask yourself. And I know this was heavy on a Sunday morning to talk about, but you know what? We're going up there for our freedom picnic. And how do you get true freedom? You trust God. You believe in Jesus and what Jesus did on that cross. He died for all our sins. So that way, Holy Spirit's getting me. But he died on that cross. I'm getting a little choked up because, you know, that's the biggest gift anybody can give to us. You know, he took our punishment, what we deserve, and he died there on the cross. Everybody making fun of him. They were there at the bottom of the cross fighting over his clothes, the last possessions, the only clothes he had on his back. And guess what? They were blood-soaked because he walked all that way and he was whipped in those clothes. And people were fighting over him so they could go and sell him and make money over what he did. They didn't care about what he was doing. And they were heckling him and picking on him and everything. People he knew since he was little, because he was raised in the temple, you know, went into the temple all the time. You know, he even taught in the temple when he was like 9 years old. Because he even told us when he went away from his mom when they were for Passover, he said, "Mom," you know, and he went away from his mom and dad. They started going back, and they realized, hey, where's Jesus? We thought he was with his cousin, and he wasn't there. And they go and they find him, and Mary's like, "Oh, Jesus, we found you. Oh, we were so worried, you know." He goes, "Don't you know I'll be in my Father's house?" He was teaching all those rabbis, and guess what? Those same rabbis were convicting him and picking on him, making fun of him while he's hanging on the cross, dying for all our sins. And that's the thing. To get true freedom, we have to accept what he did for us. And that is a hard gift to accept because we're not worthy of it. We've all came short of the glory of God. But you know what? Jesus died for us. And guess what? On the third day, he rose for all of us. So that way we don't have to pay for anything. He paid for it. And by his stripes, we are healed. You know, there's no other way it could have happened. Because Adam and Eve did original sin from a tree. So Jesus had to die on a tree because that's where sin started and that's where sin ends, right on a tree. So with that being said, I really hope that when you're in the valley of despair, you just praise God and say, "God, what can I learn?" And just accept what Jesus did and move on and go to your Nineveh.